You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
If you're looking for signs that the economy is looking up, then maybe you should step out of your house and look down the street. Take a look in your neighbor's driveways. Maybe look in your own driveway. We saw a big bump in auto sales last month. How big? Chrysler had a 34% increase in sales over the course of the month. Ford has had its best March since 2007. And some of the auto companies could hit sales records this year.
If I look in my driveway, there's a new car there.
There could be.
Really?
That's what I'm saying.
Thanks so much.
Well, go ask Allison. She's gone shopping.
Great.
Paul Eisenstein joins us. He's the publisher of the DetroitBureau.com, and it clearly has brought John a new car.
I know a bunch of people who are in town for the auto show would be glad.
Oh, that's
even
why
good
you're
financing.
Here.
Yes,
I'm here Javits to sell Center. Cars. There we go. I get it.
Well,
now.
Let's talk about this bump in sales, because it to some extent it doesn't seem to make sense. Unemployment is still high.
Mm-hmm.
Household incomes are not rising all that much. So what is going on here?
You know, it's interesting. There's an ad series that just launched by Chrysler, the follow-up to their very controversial, the well-regarded Super Bowl ad, Clint Eastwood's Halftime in America. The second run is called Second Half. And one of the ads, the theme, a guy working his tail off all hours of the day and night, whatever he can get. And it's basically, if you've got a truck, you've got a job. And that is an important thing right now. First of all, you have financing getting loose. You've got ridiculous competition. Used car prices are very high. So if you have to trade in, you're going to get a good price. There's more product out there than ever. The fuel economy of new products is huge. Some cases 40% better than comparable vehicles just 5 and 6 years old. And when you add, again, the availability of credit, finally, they're back in the market with loans and leases. You have people out there either because they have a new job or because they're desperate to get a job and they want reliable transportation.
Well, let's talk about the availability of credit, because March also saw growth in loans to subprime buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Non-prime buyers, those are people who have less than fantastic credit, mm-hmm. are actually, they've been shut out for a number of years, and now they're able to come back and get loans. But why is that?
The banks finally realized what business they're in?
Come on.
Well, it's also true that over time, your credit score actually comes up. So some people who haven't had loans or bad loans for like 5 years
and people,
are suddenly coming into the sweet spot.
And some places that simply could not loan money for all sorts of their own financial reasons now have access. I mean, it's just one of those things where credit is beginning to loosen up and the automakers are working at it. A key thing that's happening right now is the return of leasing. Now, they're not going back to the crazy days, you know, the $199 a month lease,
yeah,
on a $75,000 vehicle. At one point, you had two-thirds of the luxury cars being sold in this country were leased and at ridiculous rates. But leasing's back and incentives are back. And all the right things are happening right now. Now, let's put it in perspective. I think you touched on it before. We're still not anywhere near the sort of record sales that we saw a decade ago. But we are getting there. We're starting to see numbers that are getting all the analysts to push their own forecasts up. From last year, less than 13 million to 14.5 million for the full year, which is still a lot less than the 17 million records in the days after the new millennium.
We're speaking with Paul Eisenstein, publisher of the DetroitBureau.com. But are the car companies making money off these cars? I mean, you remember, it hasn't been that long since the profit margin on some of these cars wasn't sustainable.
Well, I often get asked about GM, you know, the controversy over the bailout. Isn't it the same company? And one of the key things is to look at what's happening in Detroit right now. These guys are right now at volumes that would have put them into bankruptcy in years past.
Right, because they weren't making enough of a profit.
Yeah, I mean, they were selling 14 million cars and dying. And now what's happening? They are making billions and billions and billions of dollars. They would have impressed Carl Sagan with these numbers. It's a lot of money they're making because they have transformed the companies. They have cut out so much fat. They've cut into the bone. One of the big issues right now is they've cut so much. They're now hiring, can't even find enough people to man their product development labs or factories.
Okay, so let's talk about cutting into the bone, because I saw your piece in which you were talking about how they were help wanted, right? They're
right.
Looking for thousands of people. But these are not the same jobs. jobs that many people got when they left high school, and all they dreamed of was getting that stable middle class wage with great benefits. These are not the same wages. They're not the same benefits people had before.
No, for one thing, a lot of the workers getting jobs in the auto assembly line right now are on the second tier level, where they are now working for roughly half what they used to get, which is still not a bad wage. Certainly better than most Americans are making, in desperation jobs. But it's still less. Plus, they have to know a lot more. This is one of the critical things. You're working on the assembly line. In the past, all you need was a strong back. These days, they've improved the ergonomics, so it's an easier job physically, though not easy. And you may have to know things about Six Sigma, like all these little things about quality control. I just was in a factory out in Illinois, the middle of the prairies, where they're going to build the new Dodge Dart. And you've got workers who are talking about things that you used to have a master's degree in engineering and manufacturing to understand. And now this is a tenet for a guy or a woman working on an assembly line.
No more, get paid less. I love America.
Exactly, James. But
is this sustainable? Is this a bump from, perhaps this is just people who waited, for years and kept their older car, and now we're seeing kind of a false bump. You know what I mean? All the people who waited.
That is a question. Are we seeing what so-called pent-up demand might do to the market? And yes, there is some pent-up demand. People who couldn't afford for a few years and are now going back.
Buick sales are down. Buick sales were down.
Yeah, Buick sales are down. You see bumps here and there. So there's all sorts of numbers. It's going to take us days to analyze and understand. What's interesting, you're seeing a pickup bump. You're seeing people who are getting back out there and needing to have work trucks. One of the interesting trends, though, is that people are responding to what could be in the past the thing that would scare them away from the market, fuel prices.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're going back, in some cases, trading in 4 and 5 year old vehicles that could last for products that are getting 40% better mileages. One of those Buicks, the new Enclave versus one of the older models, 40%, 10 miles a gallon better than a 2005 model. Now, one of the most telling stories is the fact that over 50% of all F-Series, the big Ford pickups, best-selling vehicle in America, were V6 powered, not V8, in 11 months in a row.
Interesting. Paul Eisenstein, publisher of the DetroitBureau.com. Enjoy yourself at the New York Auto Show.
Yeah, thanks. It's going to be great there.